God's good. God's so good. Amen. The writer would say, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. How many have found that to be true? Amen. I thank God for his blessings today. Philippians chapter 2, let's begin reading today with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, talking about the man Jesus Christ, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul would write to the church at Philippi, and he would let them know that God also hath highly, everybody say highly. God has highly exalted him, and God has given him a name which is above every name. Ephesians 1, the same apostle would write, beginning in verse 20, and he would say, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and he has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. I want to preach to you on this Sunday morning for the next few moments about a name which is above every name. There is a name. There is a name that is above every name. Amen. Would you set your Bibles down? Let's pray together one more time. Let's ask that our great God would speak to all of our hearts here today. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. I'm asking you now in these next few moments that we have together that you would anoint me to preach your word, that you would anoint every heart to receive the word of God today. I pray let revelation come, God. I pray let revelation come today. Let it settle upon us, I pray. Let us leave challenged and changed by your word and by your spirit. We will not fail to give you praise, glory, and honor for it, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let me begin today by stating that we believe, just in case you were wondering, we believe that there is only one God. We don't believe there's two. We don't believe there's three. We don't believe, as the Hindus do, we do not believe that there are 33 million gods. Can you imagine? Can you imagine praying and giving equal time to 33 million gods? You would spend your lifetime and you wouldn't hit them all. You couldn't remember their names. Amen. 33 million gods. We believe there's only one. We believe in the Father, yes we do. We believe in the Son, yes we do. We believe in the Holy Ghost, yes we do. We just happen to believe that all these three are wrapped up in one God. One God, indivisible, with no distinction of persons. And this doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead, among others, among Jesus' name and new birth and the living a separated and holy life unto the Lord, it is central to our message. It is one of the clearest themes of your Bible, for both the New and the Old Testaments plainly declare that God is one. Amen. The book of John, many scholars consider it to be the deepest and most spiritual book of the Bible. The purpose of John is to reveal Jesus as the Son of God. And so John, he contains no account of his genealogy like Matthew does. He contains no account of his personal descent like Luke. No account of his childhood. No account of his temptation in the wilderness. No account of him calling the 12 apostles. No account of the Great Commission. No account of his ascension. Matthew begins with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, period. Luke takes it all the way back to Adam. But John said, let's go to the beginning. Let's go past Abraham and let's go past Adam and let's go to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then he would say, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John's purpose is to reveal Jesus as the Son of God. It is to reveal His deity. And one of the ways that John does this is he gives us the I Ams of Jesus. It was John who would record Jesus having that conversation with that little lady at Jacob's well. She had come in the middle of the day to draw water, not in the morning with the other women to draw water for the day, and she wouldn't be back that evening to draw water for the night. She had come in the middle of the day, the hot sun blazing down upon her. Why? Because she had had 5 husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. Little did she know that that day she would have an appointment with Jesus Himself. He was waiting for her at the well. He was hungry. His disciples were hungry. He sent them into the city to buy meat. But He would say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And when she shows up, He says, would you give me to drink? She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus would look back at that little lady and He would say, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God, and if you only knew who it was that was talking to you, it wouldn't be me asking you for a drink of water. It would be you asking me for a drink of water. For whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, for the water that I give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so she would tell him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. I know there's a day. We talk about it at synagogue every Sabbath. I know there's a day that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And when He has come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus looked at her. Revelation, here it comes. I that speak unto thee am He. You're looking for Messiah. You're looking at Messiah. It was John who recorded Jesus saying to the people, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's why he was 100% man and 100% God. As a man, he would get hungry, but as God, he would say in John 6, I am the bread of life. As a man, he would get thirsty, but as God, he would say to that little lady at the well, if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. He would say to the Jews in John 8, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. He would say in John 8 and 58, before Abraham was, they would say, you're not even 50 years old, and you stand there and proclaim, you've seen Abraham. And Jesus would say, before Abraham was, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am Master and Lord. Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. John, what are you doing? I'm trying to show you that Jesus, he's not the second person in a triune theory of the Godhead. He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's the God who spoke the world into existence. He's the God who said, let there be, and there was. He is God. Oh. That's why John would say in John 10 and 30, he would record Jesus saying, I and my Father are one. He would continue in that same chapter and he would say, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not the works, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. It was John who would record that conversation that Philip and his Lord would have. Philip would say at that Last Supper, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus would look at Philip and say, Philip, haven't we been so long time together? Philip, we have walked and we've talked together for the last 3.5 years. Philip, you have watched me. You have watched me open blinded eyes. You have watched me unstop deaf ears. You have watched me make crippled legs walk. You have watched me cool the fevered brow. You have watched me cleanse the leper. Philip, haven't we been so long time together? And yet you don't know me. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then? Show us the Father. Philip, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak, I don't speak them of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. It was John who recorded that conversation, that prayer rather, of Jesus in John 17. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in you. And the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. It was Paul who would write to the Roman church, seeing it is one God which shall justify. He would write to the Corinthian church, there is none other God but one. He would say, but to us there is but one God, the Father. To the Galatian church, he would say, but God is one. How much clearer can you get? One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He would write to Timothy, Timothy, don't you ever forget there is one God. And they knew his name. Buckle your seatbelts now. We're going to take a little ride. To me, the Old Testament equivalent of John is the prophet Isaiah. And in the Old Testament, it was almost as if God took a coat and wrapped himself up. He hid himself. He veiled himself. Yet Isaiah would write things like, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, you are God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you made heaven and earth. He would write things like, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah would write, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. There is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. This is Isaiah. He would write, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Over and over and over and over and over, Isaiah would say, I am God and there is none else. There is none beside me. There is none before me. There is none behind me. Isaiah would let us know the only thing that God doesn't know, and that's another God beside him. Hear me today, those Old Testament patriarchs and prophets, of whom Hebrews 11 says the world was not worthy, they received not the promise. For God said, by my name was I not known unto them. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Really? Abraham, friend of God. Abraham, who walked with God. Abraham, who when God decided to judge Sodom and God decided to judge Gomorrah, Abraham, God said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm going to do? And he would reveal it to Abraham, and Abraham, he felt like he and God were on such terms that God, if you find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And God said, Abraham, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I find 50 righteous. God, if you find 45. God, if you find 40. If you find 30. If you find 20. And God said, I'll spare it for 20. And Abraham said, oh, God, if you find 10 righteous, all Sodom, have you ever stopped to think about this? All Sodom and Gomorrah needed was a little church of 10 people, and God would have spared the city. And Abraham said, God, if you find 10 righteous, will you spare the city? And God said, I'll spare it for 10. Abraham, what's his name? And Abraham would tell us today, I don't know what God's name is. Isaac, what's his name? I don't know what his name is. Jacob, what's his name? I don't know what his name is. Moses, you spake to God face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, what's his name? Moses would tell us today, I don't know what his name is. Samuel, he called you by your name. What's his name? I don't know. David, you sang psalms. You were the sweet psalmist. You sang songs to him. What's his name? I don't know what his name is. Isaiah, you prophesied that there would be one. You told us that his name would be Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. But Isaiah, what's his name? Isaiah would tell us today, I don't know what his name is. Daniel, you prayed 3 times a day. Who are you praying to? I don't know what his name is. They desired to know his name. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, the angel asked for his name. Jacob gave it. And Jacob asked, what's your name? And the angel said, wherefore is it that you ask after my name? Moses said, I'll go. I'll tell Pharaoh to let your people go. But when they ask me who sent me, what do I tell them? And God would speak through that bush and say, you tell them, I am that I am. Manoah, the father of Samson, he asked the angel, he said, what's your name? The angel had said, you're going to have a son. He will be a Nazarite all his life. And Manoah would say, what's your name? And the angel would say, why is it that you ask after my name? Seeing it is secret. The prophet Agur would say in Proverbs 30, what is his name? And what is his son's name? If you can tell. So here we go. So what did God do? Here's what God did. As various needs arose in the life of his people, God, who was all wrapped up, he would start to pull it back. Little by little, he would pull it back. When God spoke to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, to the top of Mount Moriah, and there I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me. Abraham wakes early in the morning. He gathers his son. He gathers the servants. And they begin to make their way toward Moriah, a 3-day journey. And they get to the base of the mountain. And Abraham looks at the servants and says, the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will return again. And they begin to make their way up the mountain to offer the sacrifice unto the Lord. And Isaac, he starts looking around. Here he is. He's a 25-year-old man. And here he is. He's looking at his 125-year-old daddy. And Isaac says, Father, we have the wood and we have stuff to make fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, under an anointing, a prophetic anointing, would say, my son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. They get to the top of the mountain. They're looking around. Abraham, he's hoping against hope that there's a sacrifice waiting. And finally he says, Isaac, you are the sacrifice. And Isaac, as a perfect type and shadow of Jesus Christ to come, he would lay on that altar. He would allow his father to strap him down. And Abraham would lift a knife, knowing, God, you made me a promise that my seed, it would be as the stars of the sky. It would be as the sand on the seashore. I don't know if you're getting ready to stop me or you're getting ready to raise him from the dead, but here we go. And he began to lower, and he heard a voice that said, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you love me, and now I know that you trust me. Turn around. And there caught in the thicket was a ram. And Abraham said, I know something about God today that I didn't know yesterday.
His name is Jehovah Jireh. My God is a provider. When Israel needed healing at the bitter waters of Marah, he revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord that heals. When they needed victory in their fight against Amalek, he revealed himself as Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord. He will fight our battles. When they needed sanctification, it was Jehovah in Kadesh. When they needed peace, it was Jehovah Shalom. When David needed a shepherd, it was Jehovah Ra. When Jeremiah, when he needed righteousness, he said his name is Jehovah Sidkenu. Ezekiel said his name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. So here's the picture. We've got this wrapped up God. We've got this veiled God. And name by name, he begins to reveal more and more about himself. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm Jehovah Nissi. I'm Jehovah Sidkenu. I'm Jehovah Ra. I'm Jehovah Shammah. I am. I am. I am. I am. Name by name, he revealed more and more about himself until the day that the angel visited Mary and said, "You shall conceive and you shall bring forth a son and you shall call his name not Jehovah Shammah, not Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Rapha. You shall call his name Jesus." And the Apostle Paul would say, "For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In him. You know what I'm preaching today? That Jesus is the culmination of every name that can be named for God. It's all wrapped up. Not in two names, not in three names, not in five names, not in 10 names. It is all wrapped up in that one singular name. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Father. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Holy Ghost. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Comforter. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Deliverer. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Healer. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Savior. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Provider. I wish you would hear me today preach to you. You don't need a counselor. You don't need 12 steps. You need Jesus. 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 When I say Jesus, I'm saying Jehovah Jireh. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Jehovah Shammah. When I say Jesus, I'm saying Jehovah Ra. When I say Jesus, I am saying Jehovah Nissi. I am saying Jehovah Sidkenu. When I say Jesus, when I say Jesus, that's all I've got to say is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus! Do you realize what you have today? I'm preaching to people perhaps today. Some of us have been in church for a long time. And if we're not careful, we will forget what we've got at our fingertips. I've got a power. Oh, I hope you hear me today. You are a blessed person today. You know something today that Abraham didn't know. He wanted to know. And you know it. You know something today that Moses didn't know and he wanted to know it. You know something today that David didn't know and he wanted to know it. You know something today that Isaiah didn't know but he wanted to know it. You know his name. You know who he is. Come on, friend. Why aren't you using it? When you get it, in trouble, Jesus is the first person you need to call. When you get sick, you need to call Jesus. When your back's to the wall and the knife's to the throat, I've got one name. It's above every name. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's power in that name. There's authority in that name. There's salvation in that name. There's miracles in that name. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. You can't help but preach about Him and He not show up. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, He said, there will I be in their midst. And when God comes in, there's healing. And when God comes in, there's deliverance. And when God comes in, there's answered prayers. And when God comes in, there's miracles. And when God comes in, the supernatural is there. And when God comes in, His glory comes. His presence comes.
That's why we preach in Jesus' name. I'm hurrying today. I'm almost done. That's why we preach in Jesus' name. That's why we preach in Jesus' name.
When a man of God steps to the pulpit and begins to preach in the name that's above every name, there's chain-breaking anointing. Stuff happens that doesn't happen in a counseling session. Stuff happens that doesn't happen in a 12-step program. Stuff happens that doesn't happen in a lawyer's office. Come on. When a man of God steps and begins to preach in the name that's above every name, marriages are put back together. Oh yes they are. When a man of God begins to preach healing, He sent His word and He healed them. Healing begins to take place. Deliverance. People come with questions in their mind and they get answers. When the word is preached in Jesus' name, that's why we pray for the sick in Jesus' name. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. That's why we sing, because there's power in His name. There's healing in His name. There's deliverance in His name.
It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. So why aren't you using it? Why haven't we used it at our fingertips? When doctors say, I don't know what to do, it's when Jesus says, this is where I pick up. When man says, oh, your options are exhausted. Oh, no. He has the last word. When they say our differences are too irreconcilable. Oh no. There's a God. There's a name. He can put it all back together. So the Apostle Paul would say, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every, somebody shout every knee shall bow. That doesn't just mean your knee and my knee, although it does mean that. But that means in the presence of a holy God, cancer has to bow its knee and confess with its mouth that there's a greater power than cancer. That means drug addiction and alcoholism and your fear and your depression and your anxiety and your worry and your addiction, it has to bow its knee in the presence of a holy God. Sugar diabetes, migraine headaches, back trouble, heart trouble, it has to bow its knee in the presence of a holy God and say, there is a power that is greater than cancer in this room. There is a power that's greater than addiction in this room. There is a power that is greater than my depression in this room. Musicians, come, everybody, let's stand. There's a power that's greater than my fear. Oh, akayata shata la 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 yakayata sata. Ha la 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 yakayodo shakayata sata. There's a power that's greater. There's a power that's greater. So Simon, Peter, and John were making their way to the temple. It was the hour of prayer. Most Bible scholars will tell you that very easily could have been the evening of the day of Pentecost. They're making their way. They're skipping their way to the temple. They've just been endued with power from on high. And there lying at the gate was a lame man. He had a cup in his hand. No doubt word had made its way through the streets. And he sees Peter and John coming. And he knows this is going to be a good day. They're on cloud nine. Here they come. Look at them. He starts rattling that cup. Simon Peter looks back and says, look on us. And that lame man, the Bible said, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive. He was expecting money, Pastor. But that doesn't negate the fact that he was expecting. And I'm going to tell you today, you will never receive what you need from God unless you come expecting. That is the very first step to getting what you need. Because you've got to come with expectancy, believing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He gave heed unto them expecting to receive. And Peter looked back at him and said, silver and gold we don't have. But that's not what you need anyway. If I give you silver and gold, you'll be back here tomorrow. Just trying to make it another day. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know the beauty about the name of Jesus? It's all encompassing. In the world we live in, you need help for your marriage, you go to a marriage counselor. You need help for drug addiction, you go to NA. You need help for alcohol. If you need marriage counseling, you don't go to AA. You go to a marriage counselor. If you need help for alcohol addiction, you don't go to NA. You go to AA. They got all these 12-step programs for everything. The name of Jesus is all-encompassing. That's why I can stand here today and tell you, I don't care what you need today. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. The presence of the Lord is in this place.